Let's report!
Y'all ready for that? On a fight night, can't fuck you, man.
Oh,
hey, dog.
GPS
report! I got jammed.
How does it feel to be in a GPS report?
Gold seed on a fucking helicopter, double C on Chanel, cause you bad, bad, bad. Riding Kawasaki, I could cop a new Rari, let you ride it in your ass, cause you bad, bad, bad. No playing, no Atari, won't play with you for nothing. I could eat you like a bachi, cause you're bad, 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 bad. I just took the doors off the Guinea, now I'm riding in her, sliding in her sideways, now she call me her Zaddy.
Word, dude, killed it.
Now she call me her Zaddy.
Why didn't he just say dad? That would rhyme better with bad, bad, bad.
True.
Now she call me her
True.
Dad, dad, dad.
But it's an awkward switch up.
I gotta
awkward
say.
Awkward because it switches up. And
awkward.
Because my voice cracked. Triple awkward. And just the word Zaddy is odd to me.
I never understood what the Zaddy thing was. And I guess that's just like some cute new millennial way of saying.
Also,
like
it's spelled
daddy.
Here. It's
like
spelled
iPoppy.
With a Z. I thought it was with an X.
With a Zad, Zad, Zad.
I thought it was like.
No, dude, it's
like
Zaddy.
Like Zanny.
Stupid.
Zaddy.
Oh, with an X. I thought you said an S.
No.
Like, that's sad, sad, sad. Welcome, everybody, to the TPS Reports podcast. I'd never heard that song before, and I got to say, like, I was expecting you to stumble, you know? Like, that was a faster-paced intro. Yeah. I'm always expecting the worst.
On a fucking helicopter.
Riding Kawasaki, I can cup you a new Rari, let you ride it in your rap.
I like this next part.
No plan, no Atari, I won't play with you for nothing. I can
eat it like hibachi.
So stupid. I just took the doors on the guinea.
Well, that's what you do with hibachi. You eat it.
What is, what is hibachi?
Now she call me her Zaddy.
Hibachi's like, I think it's Japanese.
No, but what's different?
Some kind of Asian. It's the type of dining where there's...
It's like Benihana. They cook in front of you.
Or you have your own table, which I kind of prefer.
You don't have your own table
like,
when you go eat other places?
Where there's like a flame thing in the middle, and they bring you your food raw, and you put it on the thingy in the middle. And you cook it.
I don't think I've ever had a real hibachi
experience.
They
bring you raw food, and they go, here, you cook this.
Here.
Faggot.
What's up, everybody? How you doing? Have you guys had hibachi? I haven't. I don't even think I've ever been to a Benihana, and that's like the fucking suburbs version of that, right? Like,
I know I've been
guy
to...
Guy takes a spatula, flips some shit in the air in a big flame, and everyone goes, whoa!
Right. I've been to that sort of thing when I was like 15, when my mom was dating my stepdad.
Mm-hmm.
She took me...
Before he was Zad, Zad, Zad.
Mm-hmm. Step Zad.
Step Zad.
She brought me, and he brought my... who wound up being my stepsister, but wasn't at the time.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay.
That pre-family, like, okay, we doing this? It's like when you got a cute cousin, and you're like, what?
I don't think it was Benihana, though. It was a place where they, you know, do all the thing in front of you.
I remember one time, like, all my
and
family's
they had that
fucked
cool
up. And
Asian soda where you pop the marble through the thing.
I don't know nothing about this. I'm uncultured swine.
It's got, like, a marble on the top, and that's how you open it. You pop the marble, and then the whole time the marble's floating in there.
Yeah.
It's not that cool, but. You know.
So I remember one time, so long ago, I was probably still like just fresh out of high school shit, and I had seen an old couple of cousins, and I hadn't seen in a long
cousins.
Time, and one of them was like an adult now, and she was cute. She was a cute girl. Look, my fucking mom's adopted and all this shit. It's not that weird. All I said was just like I haven't seen
Look,
my cousins. It's crazy.
Fucking your cousin isn't
Come
that
on,
weird.
You guys. And I didn't fuck her.
It's not like fucking your
I just
sister.
Would have. But I remember saying like, I haven't seen these cousins. I had friends over or something, and somebody met them. And I was just like, yeah. And, like, these cousins came over. I hadn't seen them in, like, 8 years and shit. My fucking one, my cousin, this girl, she's fucking, like,
stacked.
Cute. Then everybody, like, acted weird that I said that. And I was like, yeah, I get it. It's family, but.
Because you admitted
no
something
blood.
That
she
they
is
had
cute,
always
damn it.
Thought, but had always been conditioned to think.
She grew up
I'm
into
not allowed
a,
to admit that.
A very attractive young lady. You got to say it like a
handsome.
Fucking.
Handsome.
Like an old, like your uncle.
A
oh, what a beautiful
woman.
Family they've raised. It's like, bitch, she was cute.
My cousin's hot.
My cousin could get it. fuck. So, yeah, we'd had a pretty uneventful week since last week.
My week?
Nothing going on.
No events.
No events going on. Just a lot. I feel like I...
I sat at home, pulled my PUD.
Yeah, I haven't even done that.
Watched Mindhunter, the whole thing.
No
in, like,
spoilers.
2 days.
I still got, like... I've been conserving. Like, I like to watch one or a two... A two...
It's pretty good.
Yeah, I'm on like episode 6 or something. I like that show. I like first season a lot.
I like the...
It's getting better. Like I didn't.
I like
wasn't
when
totally
they interview
sold at the
murderers.
Beginning. Yeah, it's interesting.
That's the part that I like the most.
Right.
You know?
That's what the show is. It's the crux of the show.
There's like storylines. Bill's got a wife and a kid.
Tension.
They're doing wacky things.
Uh huh.
The one lady is a lesbian. She's handling that.
She's wacky.
In a pre-accepted world, accepting. I don't really. I'm not there for the storylines. I'm there for when they interview serial killers.
That was a good show. David Fincher.
I fucks with it. It was a good one.
It's had like a fucking. I'm on like the tail end of a mental breakdown, which I have every so often. Of just like, it's. I don't know. Like I had a rough week last week, and this week's been better. Right. That's how you do it. You get over the hump. I feel like I have some of my best ideas on the tail end of like almost losing it, and like microscope looking at everything. And I think that when I do that, it's that I like I don't have enough that I'm working on. Call it a distraction or call it my fucking life's mission to like make music and some shit. But it was just like I start changing posters on the wall. Like I'm wasting time, but it's like everything's getting all OCD. Like, oh, this table doesn't belong over here. I'm moving it here, and it's me like
go a beautiful mind on shit. And there's strings connecting everything in the apartment.
Yeah, but what it is like me fucking like having. Like, no focus. It's just my focus would normally be on a song or something, but I wrote my songs recently, and I'm not on the next one yet type thing. And then whenever that, like, little, like, purgatory mental period is done, or, like, I kind of get over, like, you're being an irrational asshole. I was just not on my game last week. And then, like, on the end of that, I wrote 2 verses. I recorded some drafts. I got some shit done. It's just like, dude, I just hate the roller coaster wave of like personal satisfaction, you know? It's completely irrational sometimes. But yeah, I don't like sitting around and watching TV all the time. And there are weeks when that's what you do and that's what it is. And then like I'll be watching shows and it's like 9 o'clock and I already watched an episode of Mindhunter and I'd be like, yo, I'm up for a few more hours. I don't wanna just
There's more episodes.
I had no balance. Now my balance is fixed now. I gotta like watch a little TV and then I gotta like write some raps. And then I got to go focus on the email. Then I got to watch a movie. You know, give yourself a little business, a little pleasure.
You dip your toes a lot.
Yeah.
But I think you need to just cannonball in that motherfucker. You know what I'm saying?
I was watching. There's some shows, too, that like I like saving. It's like I could watch 4 in a row, and I used to do that a lot. And there's just some stuff where it's like, I don't know, I got nothing next. There's nothing next, and I'm not like dying to get into another thing. So I just like savor the flavor.
You
got to
ration out
the
entertainment.
But yeah, I saw something that I did kind of enjoy, and I'll only mention it because when we talked about Chance's album, I remember I was like tiptoeing. It was like the day after it came out, and I was like, look, I didn't like that fucking album. But the way I talked about it, because I love Chance so much, and I genuinely like I'm glad when he puts music out and that his new album, you know, he's got a new album out. Good for him, but it's an obum. An obum.
He owed us an album.
I can't believe that's what you thought that meant.
I'm still not convinced that it's what you say it means, but okay.
It doesn't mean anything. It's just like Ebonics of album.
Everything means something, bro.
Okay, well, ask him, I guess.
It would say album if it didn't mean nothing, but it means something.
I was taken because I thought he was going to, that was the name of his new album because he was doing hashtag OWBUM, album, and he was calling it an album, but that's just like what a cool guy sounds like. A cool guy says, yo, I got my new album.
Mispronouncing words?
No, just like less articulate. It's not even mispronounced. Album. It's the same thing. I just said it both ways. One had an L and one was a little soft. It was album.
Supposedly.
Album.
Supposedly.
Supposedly. I hate the supposedly.
Supposedly.
Zvli.
It's duh, right?
I saw it like, it's clear now that nobody liked that fucking album. Or like the general consensus was like similar to
what
I thought.
We said. I think that was like a couple weeks ago when we felt like we just had nothing.
Yeah.
I didn't listen to the whole thing.
I did.
But yeah, it didn't do a lot for me.
I knew like halfway through, I was like, this is just not the ratio I was hoping for. Where I'm going with this is that I was just like, again, up late, had nothing to do, and I would. My YouTube feeds me like Chance promoting his album on Sway with him and his brother Taylor and like ASAP Ferg, and I watch this like they just sit around and basically do a 5 fingers freestyle, and that to me was like more fun to watch than listening to most of his album. And it was just like
It's back to the basics.
It was like refreshing to me to watch, because we suck at freestyling, and it's almost like when I watched this, it was like, oh yeah, everybody kind of sucks at it, but like...
Not everybody.
Not as bad as we do.
Some people are really, really dope at it.
I just, it was fun to me to watch like rappers that I do enjoy, where a lot of time, like ASAP Ferg, I think is good, and I just don't love his whole catalog, but it's fun to watch people freestyle.
I was, my stepsister came over with some of her friends a week or two ago. I was going to go out to watch the UFC pay-per-view, and then they were talking like, hey, let's just order it here. We'll throw down and shit. So we all throw down, and they get drinks, and it actually turns into this whole big thing that where I'm kind of a recluse. I was just like, oh, I wanted to like sit alone,
yeah,
get high by myself. Now there's a whole room of people. I got to like,
be a social butterfly.
Right, which I'm not.
People are talking over like the commentary, and you just want to hear Rogan's play-by-play.
And her, her friend at one point, because she was playing our music and shit.
Your album,
I guess, my obum, and he starts freestyling.
You say obum, which is the whitest way to interpret.
I don't know why I thought that I even had like read some sort of explanation how like I owe my fans an album.
You're better read than me on a lot of current events, so I think so. You'll check the news more consistently than I will. Maybe you saw an article. I didn't
check the news. I look at the magnifying
I look
glass
at the headline
on my Instagram and the Twitter headlines to see who's upset about what.
Yeah,
mainly the magnifying glass, which is usually
search,
you know MMA stuff and skateboarding.
Yeah, all I have been watching is like skateboarding, which like, I don't skate. I haven't skated in over a decade, but I watch skateboarding. Like, I start there. I go to, like, Thrasher's YouTube channel, and I want to see if they put anything new up. I don't even know who these people's names are I'm watching, but I fucking love keeping up with skateboarding. And to me, it's just, like, it's so beyond what I ever thought it was when I was 15 skating. Like,
it's a marvelous time for the sport. Is it a sport?
So, like, skateboarding.
The activity?
To me, it's, like...
The art?
Did you watch that Vans video with like the new Jeff Rowley footage?
I got through Rowley. Jeff Rowley.
Yeah.
And then my girlfriend got back from the bathroom and it was like 15 minutes and I was like, I know she doesn't want to watch the rest of this.
Yeah, my girl has no say in it.
New Rowley footy.
And
she had
like
no say in the Rowley.
43, 44. He's an older dude. Like when you watch older skaters like keep skating and like skate big stuff.
A lot of nose blunt shove, nose slide shove. Nose blunt front shove.
And whoever the last dudes
but
in that
they were program, awesome.
If watching good skateboarding is like watching comedy. It's like I laugh out loud at like what they're doing. You know, here's the Palmer Squares rendition of watching a skate video.
What?
Stop it.
Yeah,
damn!
It was
And then I just start laughing. I'm just like, oh my god. That's what I do when I watch skateboarding. It's like watching good comedy at how fucking good it is.
I got
it's
another.
Like, I can't believe it.
Pedicure the other day, and then while I was,
did you finally get the toenail polish from 8 months ago cleaned off?
What's up, baby?
You just switched from black to white.
Got
to
match the pants. Did I get a chip?
Uh oh, dude.
What already?
I don't even know you anymore.
While I'm getting my pedicure, I just sit there on my phone on Thrasher's YouTube.
Yeah,
I was watching this dude Deeds.
Me too.
Enjoy.
That's where I was going next.
Cut.
I watched the whole time.
And I'm doing
twice.
The same thing. I could feel the fucking old women around me all turning their heads while they're reading their magazines.
Yeah.
Because I'm every two tricks. What? I'm trying to keep it down.
Yeah. Dude, the last two minutes of that Vans video and the Deeds video, I was just laughing. And I'm like, I don't laugh this much at some like half hour specials I watch if the comedian's not that great. It's like, that's my reaction to seeing how fucking like out there and next level 2019 fucking skills of skateboarding are. It's just funny. It's like all I can do is like laugh at like unfucking believable. Like it's like watching a magic trick where you go, no way. Stop it. How'd you do that? Tell me how you did it. So that was great.
I'm a white guy, so I have a much more reserved reaction to magic.
I'm ethnically ambiguous, so it's kind of astounding.
Go, oohs and ahs.
They don't like to act like you know they've been deceived.
Like, yo,
I knew that. But also something like watching good comedy is what watching actual good comedy, which is all I've been doing too. I wanted to watch Simon Amstel's thing because I like him. He's got that's actually what I went to yesterday when I saw Chappelle had a fucking new thing
on what
Netflix.
Nice.
His came out a week ago. It's been on my like list. And then I went to watch that, and the fucking new Chappelle. I had no idea.
I was going to say that last
up.
Something.
So I'm sorry. You got bumped, Simon.
Last week when someone was shitting all over Chris.
Yeah.
Is it? From the UK.
Dude, the English homie? You don't even know
his
name?
I was going to start listing off like, dude, I love Nevermind the Buzzcocks.
Yeah. Chris probably doesn't even watch this shit. What
I
are you talking about, mate?
The series is with Simon Amstel as the host.
Yeah, he's funny. That's where I know him from, is you showing me that shit. But
love Buzzcocks. Those are like my upset they discontinued that series.
Those are my two favorite things that I don't like really partake in. Like, I don't skate and I don't do stand up, but it's like my two favorite things to keep up with and watch. Somebody, Chris, writes in and says, "What's up, Squares? Can't wait to see you guys on Halloween." That's right. We're headlining Chicago Beat Kitchen Halloween this year. Costume Party, Junkyard Samurai, Us, Prob Cause, Palmer Squares. Get it. It's live. It's lit. You killed it at the Magic Bottle. Where was that? I don't have as many improv things to say about that one.
What?
Is that in another
we
empty
never played
bottle?
A Magic Bottle.
Genie in a bottle? Come on, rub me the right way, baby. You should discuss the new Chappelle stand-up on the podcast. I think it's good, and if people are offended by it, then they're just sensitive bitches. Kill Whitey. yeah, I watched this last night, and first of all, it's cool to be taken by surprise like that. I finished watching a fucking Mindhunter, and I'm like, what do I do now? It's 9 o'clock. I'm done watching TV. And then it suggests, yo, Dave Chappelle has a new stand-up. It's like yes. If I had something in my hands, I would drop it to grab the fucking remote and hit play on that. But yeah, Dave Chappelle, Sticks and Stones, brand new special. I loved it. I texted you
no
to watch
magic
it.
Bottle. I said there is no magic bottle. I don't know what the fuck.
Chris, what are you
talking
about? Where did we kill it if not at the Magic Bottle?
Yeah, I saw the same thing as you. Kind of like glanced at it like it was his old special and then realized like, wait, it wasn't
called. That's what I thought. I was like, this ain't new. He just put one out.
It was called Birdman or something. It wasn't Sticks and Stones.
Dude, I love a good surprise. And Chappelle to me is like, I feel it's almost like it's like I'm privileged. It's like I said about Louis at Skankfest where I was like, I feel so privileged to like be that I get to see this. I get to be in the world like somebody who might, if I were born 50 years earlier, I would have been able to see maybe Red Fox and Rodney Dangerfield and all these other things, but I wasn't.
John Pinette.
Where I am now is like
Bobcat.
Dave Chappelle is one of those to me where I feel
hope
like I'm lucky to get to fucking like hear his opinions on shit. And why I love it and why I appreciate it more than ever is because for 10 years, that fucking guy was not doing comedy. He went to Africa, the season 3 of the Chappelle Show. We all know the story.
He's going to be...
He's back, though, and he's better than ever, and I fucking feel so, like, lucky to be able to... It's better than... It's like watching good skateboarding. It's like, how the fuck did they do that? How is he so good and effortless at this? He makes it look effortless.
Yeah, I didn't find it hilarious, but I said I was drinking and it was really late.
Drinking is unless you're at a comedy club.
While
it's
I was
not
putting it on, I was thinking like I'm not in my most like comedy appreciating mood right now.
Watch it again. I'll watch it with you.
But I knew it was last night, and I knew we were gonna touch on it.
Well, you don't want to spur. I would have saved it. I don't want you to spoil how good it is.
No, it was good.
It's like, and again.
And I don't mean that as like, that it was unenjoyable. It was just like a lot of like social commentary and making points that I agree with, but that I didn't find as hilarious as like, his old specials. It's not so much social commentary, it's just jokes.
I don't think this is like the pound for pound funniest thing he did, but I think it's him like we were saying about like once upon a time in Hollywood and like just like Tarantino kind of showing how good he is. It's just like I feel like Chappelle in his new thing, yes, the jokes are there. What's interesting to me is that he talks about the same shit every other comedian I like talks about. I watched Aziz's special. Aziz had long bits on Michael Jackson and R. Kelly. He might have touched on the Me Too stuff. Definitely did, like the Jussie Smollett.
Aziz,
great, all well and good,
sorry,
but you're not fucking Dave Chappelle. Like, I want to hear his voice, and for a long time we didn't get to because he didn't do comedy, and it's like he may never come back. And he's the guy who I want to hear his take on these social issues, especially now when everybody has their take on a social issue. That's why, you know, it's like Patrice O'Neill. He's not around anymore, and I feel like he would have been one of those voices that's different and is necessary in modern times to keep a balance, especially in like the comedy world with all the chaotic fucking entertainment shit going on in that world. Chappelle is to me like doing a good job, a great job of keeping it real. When keeping it real goes wrong, he's fucking acting like he's turning that corner that I remember like when Carlin turned. It reminded me of it anyways, where it's like he really doesn't give a fuck anymore. Like he.
Yeah, I kind of think he's in a position that a lot of other people might not be in. Whereas he's like bulletproof.
Yeah.
In terms of people's opinion on him.
But still, people are taking shots. Even he might be bulletproof, but he might not be. There's a lot of people we thought were bulletproof that went down pretty fucking quick when somebody on Twitter is just like, says, I didn't like your joke. Like, he's surviving, and right now, I think
Chappelle
he's going
to... Chappelle would have to, like, rape somebody or something. I don't think he can be disposed of just for expressing a thought.
Right, and now I think he's baiting people into acting like...
in that regard.
I think he's trying to bait people into acting how he knows they will. Like, predictably, like, go ahead and act how we all know you're going to. You're going to get mad at this joke, so I'm going to go even harder with it. You know, like, he defends Michael Jackson pretty fucking hard. He also defends, like, Kevin Hart and Louis C.K. It's half just, like, him personal vendettas, personal stories, and then weaved with, like... his normal joke shit, but his commentary on the same issues every other comedian's talking about. I've heard every comedian I listen to talk about R. Kelly. We talk about R. Kelly, the Michael Jackson shit. So he talks about it too. It's just his take is more valuable and like not influenced by the bullshit to me.
All he ever did having to do with R. Kelly was make a fucking joke music video
right.
about peeing on people. That's and somehow he gets always lumped into the conversation. Like, I found it funny that he even said the documentarian.
Like, he's a sympathizer? Like, it's not...
Or that he has anything to do with, like, his opinion on him matters.
And I kind of like that in the special.
Like, his own joke about fucking 9/11 and we're trying to get Ja Rule on the phone. Like, yeah. Where's Ja? Who cares about Dave
Chappelle's...
I ain't
trying to dance. I'm scared to death.
...opinion on R. Kelly. He has nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
He made a joke one time that, granted, a lot of people loved the joke, but that's not a stance, or that doesn't make him have a stance.
I think he just does a really good job of like making the points that not only need to be made, and points that don't need to be made. The points everybody else is making, but they're not seeing it the same. Like, he does have a different spin on stuff, and I'm so glad like he's putting out comedy again. Dude, he's had 5 specials in like 3 years or something, 3 or 4 years, and all of them so far have won Emmys and Grammys for comedy album. Like, I'm pretty sure he's went 2 years in a row with the last 2 Netflix specials, and I don't see any reason this one wouldn't get him more awards, and it's him, like, attacking the establishment that gives the awards. And it's like...
What is it about awards that...
Especially comedy awards.
...makes them sound better if they have E's at the end?
The Emmys. The Academy.
I've been throwing on The Office a lot just as something to put on, you know?
Yeah.
And it was just one the other, yesterday with the Dundies.
The Dundies, yeah. Well, that's the just Emmys. Mocking off with the... It's already set up the Tonys, the Emmys, the Grammys.
I guess the biggest one, the Oscars, don't do that.
No.
Oscaries.
And I like, too, that it's half...
Razzies.
He's, like, as good as Patrice at you don't know if he's being honest with these seemingly true stories he's telling. And then there's stuff that's obviously, like, not based in fact, and it's just for the joke and the punchline. And just, like, that... jumping back and forth across those lines of like it's like he came up with that hour 3 weeks ago. It feels like he wasn't working this last summer to prepare for his 2019 special. It's like he's really good. He's really fucking good.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't find it as again, I was drinking and I should watch it again.
I don't watch comedy if I've had more than 2 beers.
But
it's a depressant. It'll fucking, I guess weed is too, and it makes me laugh more.
I didn't find it as like memorably like brilliant in terms of like the bits as past ones. It was just like, oh, he's making a point that I agree with, but all he's really doing is making a point.
I mean, he is making a lot of points, but that's like the point to an extent is to make your point. And like, I don't know. There's just a lot of stuff. He got a lot of heat for trans jokes
like
on his last one. And then he kind of doubled down with more addressing
their
community and how they
don't
get
it. It feels less like polished and honed like writing, and more just like a guy with the newspaper open, kind of like talking to you over the newspaper.
That's
like,
why
it's
great.
And this, here's what I think about this.
I think it's great though how casual his style is. When other comedians will do the same thing, but they watch any comics I like, they still have the comic formula. the foundation. It's like, I was at the airport the other day. You know, like that thing. They start. Chappelle has none of that. It's so like, casual. It's like he's watching fucking reading the paper with his coffee. It's not like I was reading my paper the other day and look what you guys see this? Do you guys hear about this? So it's not like that. It's so fucking like unique and casual.
You heard this? Have you seen this? Have you heard about this? Terrific audience.
And I do like that he just uses his platform. It's half for jokes now, and it's half like the documentary. The director of that R. Kelly documentary asked for my involvement, and I said no. And then they said that I said this. I never fucking said that. That doesn't even sound like some shit I would say. Like it's him. It's like there's no audience there. He's venting, and then he will make a poignant point about it. But he's just getting
too
shit
hot
off his
for
chest.
TV. Was it
too she hot said, for TV?
Yeah, the guy who did the Black Klansman bit on the first episode of his show thought an R. Kelly documentary would be too hot for TV.
But to me, Chappelle is
the guy who peed on a woman dressed. As he was dressed as R. Kelly on TV.
Right. For the sake of comedy. But again, you know, humor's out the fucking window with half of society these days of just like, oh, it's a joke? Well, we don't get the joke, so it wasn't a joke, and you're canceled. I think he's just baiting Twitter, like the way he said faggot in the special. It's a great bit about trying to get words across with standards and practices for Comedy Central. And they put a wall up and said, you can't say this word. And like, the language policing, the point is fantastic. However, when Chappelle said that, he could have just said, like, look, the word that we had in the script was faggot, and we were going on. He's like, faggot! He fucking, like, yells it, and it's like, he's almost asking you to isolate it and take it out of context. Because he knows people are going to. And I think he's exhibiting what a lot of people feel and think,
that
which
moment,
is like, who gives a fuck? Just be you.
That moment
who gives
kind
a fuck
of,
if you offend somebody?
Right, it kind of reminded me of, like Lenny Bruce style of performance. Where it's, it is comedy, but I'm also here to, like, remind you about language and, you know, remind you that you're being shocked by what's really no more than just noise coming out of a face.
And if history repeats itself, he will be like Lenny Bruce one day saying shit on stage.
ODing like, on heroin.
And the fucking cops are going to come on stage and pull him off. Like, he'll get, for language, like Carlin and Lenny Bruce kind of pioneered shit like that, where they would get arrested for saying shit they were told not to say. And that's fucked up. And Chappelle is like, I don't know, he's always kind of said whatever the fuck he
that,
wanted.
But the
you don't think we're headed back in the next couple of decades, if not much sooner?
The people are who, you know, instead of arrested, you're just kind of exiled.
Right. Career execution. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't get to have a voice anymore. And that's like the biggest problem is everybody gets the there's a lot of people that shouldn't have a voice. Chappelle's not one of them. He should. He has a great voice. He uses it well. And then there's people whose voice fucking stinks, but since we all have the same right to our voice, they get to say, Chappelle fucking made me angry and he should be canceled. And then a lot of people start listening to that voice because we all get a voice. How come this person's voice gets to say this person's voice has to be silenced? That's kind of the whole point. It's like, you don't get to shut me up. And since you don't, I'm going to say all of this stuff now. And now he's like kind of, he's towing the line a little further than he would have ever wanted to or had to. But he's like, no, fuck you. You're taking down my friends and you're not going to take me down. And if I go down, I'm going to go down in a fucking blaze of fire. Like he's a real ass comedian. I fucking love him. He's top three all time as far as I'm concerned. Certainly like in my lifetime. I can't call him, you know, to Dangerfield and Pryor and all that. But I think he's like, I'll call it top five all time. It's fucking awesome. I think he's as good as he's ever been. And I'm just like glad he started doing comedy again because he didn't for a long time. He kind of made me think as a fan of his from when I was in high school and then he went away. It was just like, it's like when Opie and Anthony broke up and we were fans. It's like, well, what now? It's like, we want that. We want to hear the fucking show.
You mean
show.
I got to sit for 4 hours every morning in silence?
Right. That's my guy. That's my show. And then you don't get it anymore. It's like Patrice O'Neill, he's dead. So we don't get it, and there's nothing we can do about it. I'm just glad that Chappelle got over that shit.
He's gone.
He came back, and
he's gone.
Crushing it. He's going to go 3 years in a row.
There's nothing we can do about it.
There's nothing anybody could do.
And that's that.
But yeah, thank you. Thank you, Chris, for setting up a question to lead me into what all I had to talk about this week anyways.
Amongst other things, it was real greaseball shit. Even shot him in the face so Tommy's mother couldn't give him an open casket at the funeral.
And also, I feel like I just kind of shit on Chance again, but where I was going with that was he was freestyling on Sway in the Morning, and I watched that, and it was so, fun to me. It was him and his brother Taylor Bennett, who we've played shows with, and then ASAP Ferg
on
Sway.
Who I've watched freestyle and is really good.
We've said that on a podcast for sure about, like, when we played that show with Taylor Bennett, and him and his homies are freestyling in the green room, and us, we're just kind of recoiling against getting our back on the wall with a Heineken, like, I don't want to be put on the spot.
I hope I'm not expected to join in.
Don't pass it to me. But he was really good, and like, either way, it was just like...
All I remember is he rapped about the trolley gummy octopuses on the coffee table.
Fuck yeah, dude. That he's good.
That's a detail that stuck with me.
He's good at what I'm terrible at, which is
I like
continuing
octopuses.
Like the thought. He'll look around a room and be like, yo, there's a globe. Like, and see, I got nothing. I don't know where to go with it. I'm just looking at a globe. He
I
can
take
look
a
at anything.
Bath and put on a robe.
My light's like a strobe. It stinks.
Give you
when
a
we
seizure. Chilling in my leisure.
But anyways, there's him. And they're just like freestyling, and I'm like, this is fun, and it's like not polished shit. I like that it's so like conversational, and I guess I was just really bummed that Chance's album stunk, and then I think people got to him with their critiques about it. He seems to like, it's probably the first time Chance
Here's
the Rapper
the setup,
ever had
dude.
Overwhelming
Here's
fucking
the setup.
Critique on his work.
Deliver a bad album and make album. Everybody think the album was bad to an extent where they think you owe them an album.
Hey man, if he
You're
calls
love
his
the
next if his next project comes out in less than a year and it's called Obum, not album, dude, I'll kiss your fucking white painted toes.
Fucking right. Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
I'm just so like I guess Flying we need to practice freestyling if we're ever gonna be good at it.
I think it's far too late, my friend.
I don't think so. I bet we could. Like, look how unpolished
I don't think
this
it's
is.
Like,
the rapper, and I had a little alligator or a raptor or whatever.
I remember when
I don't want to just watch
mama,
this
and that was in Chicago,
confront
and
how much I suck.
We was around a couple models, and I think it was at my show.
Yes.
And then we went on tour, and then you started dancing on stage, and it was crazy. And then you got paid, B, and then you started doing VMAs, B, and just...
I think it's like not that
crazy.
Good, but I still have no confidence to continue with a freestyle.
Before niggas had rabies.
I've never heard anybody call anybody B outside
yo, this nigga
of
going
a
so
rap.
Yeah.
I hear that all the time, but do people actually call people B?
I grew up listening to Nas.
Cool people, not white people.
He had bars. Grew up listening to Mobb Deep in the streets. We Mobb Deep up in the streets. ASAP.
And shout out to the mob. My nigga Free. You can never keep us locked. You can never keep us down. I rock a smile everywhere, no frown. They say
it
I'm
stinks,
duper
but it's good because they don't stop for 15 minutes.
Go in on this one. Here we go.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I just, this freestyle to me was like iller to watch than listening to his whole album. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? That's all I'm saying.
This is the type of thing that make my face melt. This is the type of thing that make them stay well. It makes them stay well longer than they should. And if they overrun, they welcome. Make sure that I don't knock over the powder like the talcum. I don't like to tell them. I like to make sure my seatbelt is extra fastened. I fascinate everybody when I'm rapping. It's cool because the cameras get to flashing and all the whole.
It's like it's
I'm
probably not that hard.
And
I don't
think
you
it's
just
like
never
a practice
ever tried
thing. I got the wifey at I the think crib, it's just a comfort thing and a confidence thing.
But it's also some shit that you did when you were younger. Like,
well, I don't have confidence.
There is stuff that
I'm
I
uncomfortable.
Did when I was younger that I have confidence.
I'm shy.
I have more confidence in shit I did when I was younger than I do in shit now because it was instilled. And like, we didn't have freestyle cypher culture in our group of friends.
No,
1%.
We did not.
But still, like, I used to listen to Outkast and I could rap Bombs Over Baghdad from front to back for the rest of my life because I learned it when I was 13 and I drilled it into my head. And it's like, that's some, I was listening to it so much. There's something like Little Brother's War, you know, on the right track to get it. It's like that font to go right back. The business I strike back,
yo,
like the empire ways that
it's not freestyling. You
but
just remembered it.
It's stuff that you were surrounding yourself with when you were a kid. And when you ciphered
a
as
kid,
a kid,
man, you were in high school.
I was in sixth grade when I memorized Bombs Over Baghdad.
Okay.
I was in eighth grade when I memorized, not Overnight Celebrity, what was the Do or Die song?
I'ma make you a celebrity, go
Twista's
overnight.
Verse in Do You. Do you, oh, oh, do you. Come on, doggy. That's what I'm saying. It's just shit. You surround yourself with it, and it stays with you to where that shit doesn't sound like a polished album verse. It sounds like a freestyle.
A polished
album verse.
Album verse?
we should call this episode Obum. But to me, that's just like, we didn't do that at all, so we are at square one. And it's like somebody who was raised and ciphered with his brother and just with their friends, and that was cultural when you were a kid, to jump back into Sway after not being a cipher. And it's cool to watch your eyes almost like be uncertain. Like you're watching these guys like fuck up and not know what they're going to say next. And then they always pull something. They always find something. It's not like the right. best thing ever.
And I'm just amazed that they don't go directly to something about binguses or fucking...
That's another thing.
Licking a homeless guy's ass.
Whenever we freestyle, it always turns like we're gay. Like, yo, I put my dick inside your mouth.
I always you're a dude. Reveal my true colors.
Light a cigarette. And now I guess I'm way too cool. Threw out all the cools. Now I just smoke jewels. Yes. And I heard that shit super, super bad for my lungs.
Yes.
So I guess with that shit, I'm done. I got rid of the hoes and the acid and all the hoes with acids that was made of plastic. Woo! I kept on moving. The
like, I think we could
drastic.
Do this.
I'm doing this whole thing for
it would be terrible.
Back in the day,
like, but like,
Jurassic.
These motherfuckers are just
I take
having
it
fun.
Back when I get done doing a backflip. I lay down on the mat with Matt Lauer and Katie Couric and ask them to ask me questions about everything on the surface. And then when it gets a little
yeah,
deeper,
I mean, you've heard
I
me speak
talk about God,
on here.
Like,
unfortunately,
I'm an idiot. I'm slow. I can't do it.
It's just silly.
I can't focus. I'm very self-conscious.
Should we freestyle right now? Should we find a beat?
No.
Yeah, I forgot to finish that thought. It was just... It's just fun, and it's just, I don't know. The album was not that good, but it's just like, there's still some, I just like seeing some motherfuckers rapping and having fun, especially when there's so much pressure on like making your album chart and getting it in with the algorithms.
Right.
And it's like sometimes
the algorithms,
it's like you lose, the more you get involved in something, you sort of lose what's fun about it. And like, we've hit those points. Like, I feel like everybody who is like trying to take their career to the next level is going to hit points similar of like the work over the what's fun about it. It starts like
right.
becoming not fun. It's probably why Chappelle ran off to fucking Africa. It's like, why this people aren't laughing with me. They're like laughing at the racial shit. And I don't think I think I'm perpetuating. It became like work and a big responsibility. And then it wasn't fun. So he cut and run bars. But I think I don't know. I just think it was cool to see that type of shit. And then yeah, like I don't know. You think if we were sitting around just goofing at 7 a.m. with ASAP Ferg in the studio, we would have been able to just jump in? It would have been like I would have tried to like tiptoe out of the room without anybody noticing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this stinks.
I try and do that at
no
a fucking
confidence.
Like a bar in fucking Oklahoma City with 7 people.
Yeah, like Colin Quinn special, just start from the exit door.
Or in the backyard with my stepsister's friend, who, like, the second he starts, I just start inching towards the door, like,
I'm in the yard with my stepsister's friend.
I don't want to be asked.
Your acting term going to be the best till the end, because you my friend. All this money I spend, hit my bumper, that's the rear end, whiplash, throw my neck back. I got the next track, cue it up, spin it back. I got some fresh wax, sold out. You know how I go about my business. What is this? I switch it up one time, and then a second one, on to the third. I'm like Reverend Run, DMC. You seeing me? I got a P.O. box like CP3. Wait, C3, P.O. That's how we go. Star Wars in this bitch, you know. I'm not Neo. It's the me show. Acumenal and Terminal. All
right.
I think we could do this. Like,
you just proved that you could do this.
All right, now you go.
Yo, he said, Hugo, I never seen Hugo by Scorsese, but if you let me finish, I'll diminish anybody in the kitchen. I'm switching.
I'm from Finland like I'm Finnish. You got to say finish 3 different ways. Don't let me finish. I moved to Finland. Now I'm Finnish. And you finished. That's what you got to do. You just got to keep saying the next fucking. Just say the same thing different. I think I finally cracked the code. But yeah, I think it's just some shit you don't see as much anymore. I don't see it because I don't ever freestyle. Maybe I should. I mean, that was pretty hot what we just did. We pretty hot.
You keep using this we word.
Let's get into some fan questions before we make ourselves more uncomfortable.
More uncomfortable.
Moron.
Make this moron. Hey, Trump 2020 made a move. I've been playing.
He made a move.
I've been playing chess with friends on my phone. The app. anybody wants to play me.
You putting it out there for the world?
Username TPS Term.
TPS Term on, what's it called? Chess with Friends?
Chess with Friends.
There you go.
I challenged this guy, Trump 2020.
You should change your name to like Warren.
I figured, peace. but maybe he's a hustler.
That if I you're just on want a, you to know.
If you're on a chess thing, you know, Trump 2020, guy must be an idiot. It'd be an easy win. But maybe he's like fucking Bobby Fischer and
he's
like
a shark, he's trolling you.
Yeah, fucking MAGA doofus, but he's really like the best chess player on the planet. Probably not, but we'll see.
That's why you just thought he'd be an easy checkmate.
Yeah.
I think I'll take Trump 2020.
Exactly.
We got this.
That's what I'm saying.
Let's do a couple fan questions. Here's something that is in the same realm of music, I think. Music stuff. Fredo, I should probably turn the goddamn volume back up.
Hey guys, what's up? My name's Alfredo. I live right outside of Chicago.
Alfredo? What are you, a sauce? What are you, all over my noodles?
I got the sauce. You know I'm saucing.
Alfredo Garcia. Bring me the head of Alfredo Garcia. You know what I'm saying?
My name is Alfredo Montoya.
Bring me your head.
You killed my father. Prepare to die.
Chicago, but surprisingly, the first time I got to see you guys live was in Greeley, Colorado. I've been writing raps for years. I finally just recorded a couple of songs in an actual studio. I'm wondering what advice you'd have on performing songs live, how to get booked, how to not run out of breath on stage, and anything else you wish you knew in the beginning. Appreciate the podcast.
Perfect
and I hope you guys
advice for
well.
You, dude. Here's what you're going to want to do.
Don't freestyle.
Jam the microphone up your keister. Get a rod going.
Like a boner.
And then rap into your boner while the microphone's up your keister.
Yeah! How long have you been sitting on this brilliance? No way you just pulled that out of your
How
ass.
How long have you been
Pardon
sitting
my pun.
On this mic? Here's what you're going to want to do.
I'm sorry. I want to go with this guy's question, but now I'm way more into the rapping into the dick mic through your ass thing.
Buy a pair of stilts and learn how to yo-yo. You can be the first rapping, stilt-walking yo-yoer.
That's what you got to do. You got to be the first, this, that, and right. a third. You know,
remember
blank.
What Barack Obama said? You always want to be the first something.
Mm-hmm. So just stilts in the yo-yo and do whatever you do now, and you'll be the first that, and people are going to pay attention. But in all honesty.
Look at the audience. Or
no.
Audience.
You're saying look at the audience?
Yeah. Don't like just look at the ground the whole time.
That's something I've always been bad at. Like I always look over the audience.
So work on it, bro.
Oh, term.
Yeah, but
me
you're looking over the audience because you know I should be looking outward.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying.
So that don't
you
know,
you
look
see
down.
Some rappers who just the whole time, yo.
Terms pacing.
I'm a guy who's rapping a verse. We just talked about how I can't freestyle, so I'm not gonna do that right now.
Term is the best and act is the worst.
But I can pantomime on a podcast. You know what I'm doing.
Well, what I do is, like, eye contact has
traditionally
thrown me off. Well, I got a Rolodex I consult from time to time. I don't like seeing eyes because then I start, like,
it
pulls me out of my, like, my knowing what's my next line. Like, when I look out over people, it's almost like I'm just looking into my own head. I'm, like, not focusing on anything. I'm just trying to think of that, like, that next line in my verse or stay in a line ahead, you know? But then sometimes I like, it's like Jane Addams is a song where I know really well. So a lot of times I might jump in the crowd or I might start looking at people and delivering at them because I feel more comfortable that I won't drop a line because it's kind of like muscle memory. And then there's a lot of songs I don't feel that way on. So if I start looking at faces and eyeballs too much in the crowd, it's more ripe to distract me because I start like looking and I see somebody and then you think like, oh, she's cute. Is she my cousin? You just like something comes up and you just get mentally diverted for a second, and I try to limit that and not looking at the crowd. But I agree, it's actually I'm self-conscious about it because I always feel like I should be looking more at the crowd and not looking past everybody. I should be like, you know, personal. I should be in it. So what did he say exactly? He says how you'd have advice on performing live, how to book shows. Booking shows is not where to get advice from us because we've done it a little bit, but we've always had more so. A resource like our homie Reed, you know, he's been helping us out since like 2011, 2012, and we still use Reed as a resource. And we have other homies. We're going on the road with Stevie Ray in September and October. Tickets on sale now. But Stevie was doing that legwork. Like he was working with people like Reed and just with himself to. Booking is hard,
so
and
what
I've never really
was saying is you're gonna want to get someone to do that for you.
It's always good to know a guy, and there's some people that's what they do and that's what they want to do. Like Stevie's a crossover of both. He's an artist and he's also like he can book and promote, and at least he's done it for us. Mm-hmm. But like, and then there's Reed. Reed's not a rapper, but Reed is great at like promotion and. Yeah, no, he isn't.
he can karaoke some goddamn Sublime, though, let me tell you.
Fucking A. But there are some people that's what they want to do. They aren't the musician, but they're passionate about music, and they're passionate about like event promotion and shit like that. So you might be able to find somebody. So booking is really tough. And even 10 years in, I feel like we're not qualified to give advice on exactly how. There's plenty of times where we want to play shows, and then we can't. Or like we try and it's hard. Even in cities that are our best markets sometimes, we still have a really hard time.
We've like
it's not easy to book a show in
like
LA.
The Middle
all the
East in Boston.
Yeah.
And we've sold out the upstairs room before.
Yep.
We've had other successful shows there. If I were to just me had to call the Middle East, we have a show set up, tickets on sale now. But if it wasn't set up and I had to set it up, it's like I wouldn't know the first thing to say to the person. I've played there before, and I want to do it again.
Prove it. Like, I don't know how.
What do I got to do?
People always want to know, like, hey, can you get the numbers from the last time you played Middle East in Boston? And be like, don't they have it? Like, I don't know. You just ask me how many people were at the show. I'll be like, either 100 or like 350. Somewhere in between. I'm not good at eyeballing this shit. But lastly, what did he say? He said, how not to run out of breath on stage. I feel like that's something that we've definitely, like, I don't know if we have any good advice about it, but I know that I'm better at breath control now than I was last year, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, for sure. That was one of my biggest things, and it sounds really cliche, but don't smoke cigarettes. Term doesn't smoke cigarettes, but I do, and there were times when it's like I would cough 100% of the time I was off stage because I was just a smoky fucking asshole.
And also be conscious of it when you're writing the music.
Yes.
That you're not, write something to perform.
Right.
If that makes any sense. And perform it to yourself while you're writing it.
There's a lot of verses. I think something I traditionally have done is pack as much as I can in. The assertive assassin lurking a bushel of basket burn up a derba dip abba derba dip. Like, it's like there's no breath spot in there, and I find the breath spots later after performing it live and finding out where I need the breath. And then the more it's kind of, if you're new to this, it's like trial and error. You're not going to know until you go do a bunch of shows and you'll learn.
Right.
But that's terms right. You'll learn where to leave a breath spot, and then you'll learn that the words like, and then I. Like, and then I said to the, like, you don't need that. And then you just say, like,
you don't need
said
I
was back.
I.
You can just say that. You don't have to say, like, and then I said I was back. You cut those, like, unnecessary words. You trim the fat. Trimming the fat allows for breath, and that's, like, what's crucial for the words that you do want to say to, like, sound the best. You got to leave a breath spot, and knowing that when you're writing helps a lot. And I think we both kind of approach, I certainly do, like, I want to, like, bars, ha-ba-da-ba-ba-da-ba-ba-da. And it's, like, at a certain point, you got to fucking leave a gap. And I've written verses that had no gap, and then I'm on stage like, why is this so fucking hard? It's like, oh, because you're gonna have to like drop these few words and take a breath there. Like, another thing is that I have Term, and Term has me, so the more we play shows, we know, like, I know where Term's gonna take a breath. I know which line he's gonna cover me on.
Yeah, because get a partner.
We've done it so many times. But
two heads are better than one. Double the pleasure, double the fun.
But yeah, breath control is something that is super important, and I think like you can't really, you're not gonna know until you play a lot of shows, and we still run out of breath or have a hard time. There's plenty of spots and plenty of songs where it's like I get to that point, kind of want to look at Term with the big eyeballs of like, hopefully he sees in my face I'm running out of breath right here.
Oh, I see.
And then yeah, you can jump back in and tag that. But hope you're doing well too, buddy. Let's do another. Thing.
Get the fuck out of here.
Shut up.
Hey, I'm calling back again in regards to this rain falling out of the fucking sky. I thought he said his name was Wayne, so I'm going to call him Wayne. But Wayne with the rain out of the sky.
What is happening
right now? Let's
connect,
man. Let's connect.
People reference like a call from last week, and it really throws me off because I don't remember what. Is he saying, is this someone said something last week?
Yes.
About rain?
There was that drunk guy that didn't like the English homie. And he's like, it's fucking rain. Rain falling out of the sky. Rain, he's coming out of the sky.
Yeah, that guy sucks.
He's like Rain Man. He's coming out of the sky.
Sucks, don't he?
Go across the pond and beat the shit out of this English motherfucker. I think y'all fell apart
at the end there.
Jeez.
We're trying to do.
Oh, that's the guy who wanted to fight Term.
Sounds like me
trying
to freestyle
to fight
on
Chris,
Sway in the morning.
And now he wants to team up with Wayne the Rain Man. That's his new name. Wayne the Rain Man.
Wayne Man.
Here is an American. I didn't screen this, but
idiot savant minus the savant.
Just to
minus the wrong thing.
Here is
what do we got?
A Texan wants to weigh in on this patriotism theme that we can't seem to shake anymore.
Yeah, can we get over this topic?
It's like, look, guys.
Look, I said I love Nevermind the Buzzcocks. What more do we need to establish here?
There's a bunch of fucking patches of land in between bigger patches of water. And people are different between the patches.
The majority of bad things done by white people in the world were done by British white people. So
yeah,
we're off the hook.
Sorry, bud.
Do we need to discuss?
Yo, this is Kenneth here from Texas, America of America. And I just wanted to add into this patriotism. And
is that like what their license plates say?
No,
America
so.
Of America?
I don't think so.
I thought it was everything's
the
bigger.
Lone Star State.
Lone Star.
Help Chris understand where someone might come from American patriotism.
Okay. And that's what I want. I want to just at least... Everybody's got to get their voice in, man. Let's go with the Texan.
It's a much calmer approach so far.
Thoroughbred American.
American.
This guy's going to give me a history lesson.
So patriotism is being patriotic.
If you'll remember the Alamo.
I'll wait until we're going to listen.
I'm sorry.
That come from American patriotism. So patriotism is being patriotic or vigorous support of one's country. And American patriotism is almost opposite of normal patriotism because America was founded on the idea that the individual is the highest valued unit, and that the government should not infringe on the individual's representation in how they're able to live. And, you know, why would you listen to the king? Well, you listen to the king because you're English, he's English, and that's what you're supposed to do.
Like,
and you're doing it out of loyalty to
almost
England. But America isn't founded on a guy or a group of people. It's founded on the individual's right.
I thought he was
going to
say the Indian genocide, which is what it was.
So part of American patriotism
the
is
raping
telling the
and
government
pillaging
to go fuck itself
of a litany of tribes.
Do
what
the fuck they want.
I'll run it back.
So
run it back,
part of
back.
American patriotism is telling the government to go fuck itself, which is worthy of
sticking it to the man
because it is why you can not give a shit about American patriotism. In some countries, it's forced. But American patriotism is the right to not give a shit about being patriotic to the country. So, to me, that's worthy of honoring. And that is a reason why that guy would go and fix the flag, is to show respect and to uphold the idea that we can tell you to fuck off if you start telling us what we're supposed to do, which is the fundamental idea of America. So I just hope that added something.
Oh, you guys live here too? Fuck off. This is our country now.
And,
who's got a fucking machete?
I didn't mean to, Chris, because America shouldn't be represented that way. Love you guys. Peace.
I kind of like some of his. What he's trying
to. What a beautiful approach. I think everybody should snort a line of Kratom before they call in or whatever he just did.
But
you get a call from Texas responding to a guy calling American patriotism stupid. You're expecting, yeehaw, get the fuck out of my country.
Yeah. I guess, but like, just the fact that American patriotism has a connotation of like the free speech and being able to say that you will do whatever the fuck we want and fuck you, that's not like, doesn't mean somebody from over the pond can't criticize it too. Or have their voice of like, this is the country where we don't get to do, or we'll do whatever we want. And you don't get to tell us otherwise. So like the guy who fixed the flag, you can respect it as a patriot, or you could say, that guy's a faggot.
Calling him a faggot is patriotic.
Exactly.
Don't you see?
So it's very, I honestly think that's exactly the point he's trying to make.
Shitting on his patriotism
They're patriots.
Oh, my goodness.
What's that point you made on Twitter that was like, if you call people part of the problem, you're part of the problem, and you... What was
that? Did I say that?
Are you serious, man? You don't remember your thoughts?
I don't tweet very often. And usually when I do, I regret it like an hour
was,
later.
It was actually worded well.
Pompous asshole sharing my opinion.
My last tweet, it said Al Gore over algorithms. That's the only thing I use Twitter for is like the dumbest idea.
I might take algorithms over Al Gore. Yeah, I tweeted like, it's not a microaggression, you're just a pussy. And then like an hour later, I was like, ooh, edgy.
I kind of felt the same
fucking
way.
Asshole.
When I saw that, I was like, is Term drunk?
No, I got on Twitter and there was like a bunch of people upset that Joe Biden at the debates called Kamala Harris kid. He goes, go easy on me, kid. And people were like, calling a 56-year-old woman a kid? How condescending. I was just like, he's an old man. He said kid. It's like champ.
But buddy. Are you a sport?
Fucking relax, dude.
Right.
If that upset you, you are a pussy. There's no other explanation for it.
For sure.
But also, yeah, my commentary was like fucking cliche. Douche.
I think the only, like, that's why
I can't share an opinion even on here without immediately feeling like a douchebag just for sharing it.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of where we're at, and that's where a lot of other, that's where everybody is. It's like, everybody has their opinion, though, and I specifically try to keep things like that of, like, if you think this offends you, then fuck you. Anything in that realm of, like, that tone or that statement. I usually try to, I haven't put stuff like that on Twitter in a very long time, except for, I think, when that comedian got in trouble for making fun of X.
Right.
Which every fucking comedian I have seen, Chappelle, watching Bill Maher, or fucking any, the other guy, John Oliver, anybody, every fucking thing I watch, they make fun of somebody who's dead.
Right.
Every single thing. Like, so that really upset me. But at the same time, it's like Twitter is a place for you to go and say, like, Al Gore is an algorithm. Like, put your dumb shit fuck ideas there. Stop trying to act like that's where, like, you're making your stand. America's last stand, our last bastion of hope on fucking commentary. Is this 200 characters of fucking dog shit?
Bathroom stall wall.
Exactly. You know what you say? You know, I have a picture in my phone. I'll show you. We should make the promo this week for it. I took it on the road. It says, poop in my vagina with a picture, a swirly picture of shit with stink lines and flies on it.
What about
that's
the,
what
the
Twitter
vagina
is.
Picture?
That's just what Twitter, it's like.
A classic.
That's what you're supposed to put on Twitter.
A classic example of how women are underrepresented.
Wasn't that the old Gilbert Gottfried joke?
You draw the poop, but you don't draw the vagina. I don't know if it's Gilbert's joke.
What is the joke? Like,
how do you get a faggot to fuck a woman, fill her vagina with shit?
It's good stuff.
I heard Jimmy Carr tell the joke once.
Yeah.
And he probably didn't say faggot. He probably said gay man, but he said fill her cunt with shit because he's British.
Well, that's just the same. Like, British folks, cunt is not.
But then
like,
people were
that's
like.
That's like a term of endearment.
Joke stealing. People said that was joke stealing. And I was questioning, like, I don't know if Gilbert Gottfried wrote that. I think a lot of.
Yeah, maybe Gilbert
his
stole
special
it.
Dirty jokes. Like, I think those are just fucking old street jokes.
Right.
That people were telling, you know, when he was a kid.
That's like when.
Or maybe, I don't know.
Amy Schumer was accused of stealing from Patrice for doing all those. And it's like, Patrice shouldn't even been doing those because they weren't Patrice-level originality. They were street jokes that you heard,
right.
Like a rusty trombone, right? Like that shit that you hear as a kid. And then it just becomes like public domain humor. It's like you hear it, knock, knock, who's there? Why'd the chicken cross the road? Yeah, rusty trombone. These like sexual label
the
goofs.
Chicken cutlet.
Yeah, the angry pirate.
Yeah, name I mean, calling. Maybe it's just the... idea of like ending a recorded it wasn't really a special where Patrice did it but a
it
recorded
an
set
yeah.
ending it with you know those just listing off those
which I think he's better than that like
I don't think she was
I don't that's what I'm saying is I
like,
don't agree she was stealing
mining Patrice's brain and stealing his thoughts but it was an unoriginal thing to do
they both did the same thing right. But they were both kind of unoriginal. So I don't
she
think that's
she was more
argument.
Unoriginal.
She's a woman. one more question, and then sayonara.
Palmer Squares, this is Nick from New York. Just
wanted
to let you know I'm going to round up a whole squad of people to come to the show in New York City.
Please do.
On September 25th.
New York City!
A quick question for you guys. I'm just curious as to what your guys' biggest goal is musically for the upcoming year of 2020. I would love to hear it. Wish you guys great success in this tour. I'm looking forward to seeing you. Peace.
Fuck yeah. Good, short, concise question. He promotes our gigs and asks us something that we could maybe answer. Way to go.
Maybe.
Nick from New York. So, yeah, most importantly, New York City is a hard fucking city to draw in every time we come there. And we're coming there on a weeknight, September 25th. Hope to see Nick and all his friends there. What's funny about that? The fact that we might get fans at our show?
I was going to jump in. He said it's a hard city to draw in. I was going to be like, yeah, my pencils always break and the pens run out of ink.
We are terrible. My girlfriend's phone was I heard it buzzing while we were talking. So I was like, babe, your phone's blowing up. And then I had to go every, like, what is that? The new eye inflatable balloon? Because it's blowing up. What is that? The new Al-Qaeda model? Because it's blowing up. I just couldn't stop making every god-awful joke that came through my head until I was crying laughing at how unfunny I was. Just can't keep it in my own dumb head. Biggest music goal.
As long as you laughed.
That's what's important. As long as the man thinks it's funny.
Biggest musical. I would say Cats.
Music goal.
Oh.
Never saw Cats.
Neither have I.
Biggest musical going into 2020 is, well, we're in a kind of a unique spot because this was a very hectic year behind the scenes. And, like, we have no management. We have no label representation at this point going into next year. So not that I feel like we need anything like that or are seeking it at all. I guess that's, I don't know what I'm trying to say, but my biggest goal is for Ack and Term, the duo, the Palmer Squares, to really, like, try and outdo even a good year in the past, but just ourselves. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. We still have Reed helping us. We got our homie Jeremiah. We got other people that are resources and help. But, like, this whole music business, artist management thing, like, it's just us right now. And maybe that'll change down the road. And until it does, whatever. Like, that's my goal is I want to make sure we put out. We've had a silent year, but I'm not trying to make excuses. We had shit going on, and we're very determined to make sure we don't go this whole year without releasing stuff. So we're working. We're going to try and have some exciting announcements before the end of the year, but they ain't ready yet. And then next year, we're planning for that as well. Next year's the 10-year anniversary of Palmer Squares. So I don't want it to be a flop, and I definitely don't want to go all of next year putting out as much as or less than we did in 2019. Because this was a sort of a quiet year for us. Thank you to all the podcast listeners, because this is really all we've been capable of delivering consistently this year. The podcast was never a replacement for our music. It's an add-on. But we had other shit going on this year. We toured a bunch in the spring, and we're touring starting more in September and October. So this, like, spring and fall road schedule became a priority, which limited our ability to make stuff, yada, yada, yada. I just want to make a bunch of shit. I want to put out some one-take rap videos like we know you guys love, a new project, maybe more than one new project before 2021, definitely more than one new project before 2021. And next year I want to do, like, I haven't really narrowed it down, but, like, extra re-highlight back catalog stuff, like Memory Lane, more shit. Like, it's the 10-year anniversary of Palmer Squares, so I want to, like, make it feel like it. And I don't know how to do that yet. If you guys have ideas on, like, fun shit to do, I wanted to do some, like, maybe almost like TPS commentary, like bonus podcast type shit, like us going through the years of Philly Blunt Ciphers and looking back in those early stages and, I don't know, making fun of ourselves and also, like, learning what we've learned in the time, yada, yada, yada. It's 10 years next year, so it's kind of a milestone. And to me, it feels like the beginning. It's like we're starting over. If it's not the beginning, it's a new, we're turning a new leaf. What other metaphors for resurrection can we you know what I'm saying?
Every picture tells a story, don't
worth it. 1,000 words. I don't know what we're talking about anymore.
A bird in the hand,
two in the babushka. Yeah, I don't know, Term.
So on and so forth.
A commentary on goals, but yeah, dude, it's like it's just us right now. No justice, it's just us. And we got to do it right. We got to figure out how to not stink and to really reclaim ownership of this fucking movement, man.
Yeah, you know, like what you said, reestablishing our sustainability and all that is definitely part of it. Like we said earlier, not getting roped into when you're talking about Chance's album and
album
his album and thinking like too much on perception of the work and kind of losing the fun, getting back to the fucking...
Yeah, I changed my answer. I just want to have fun.
I used to just write goofball raps that I would want to record on a camera like that day and upload to YouTube and not put that much thought into it. And,
yep.
You know, what originally got us here, we've kind of strayed from.
Yeah. And it wasn't even like by choice. It's also evolution. Like, we wanted to make stuff that didn't sound like this shit. It sounded better, dude. Our albums sounded better than the fucking old camera video stuff. And like, then sometimes you just got to get back to square one and go fucking spit a bunch of raps into a shitty camera mic. Like, and it feels good. And it feels like, why haven't we done this in 3 years? You know, like, this used to be what was the most fun. And it sounds kind of shitty and really shitty compared to how our albums sound, obum, but it was fun. So, yeah, man. And that should be everybody's goal, is to have fun making this creative shit, not be too afraid that you're tiptoeing on eggshells to make sure that, oh, well, I don't want to put that line in, because what if Twitter and this community is going to not appreciate, you know, be mindful with what you do, but just have fun. Fuck whatever everybody else thinks. Like, the fact that nobody liked Chance's album, fucking dude's gonna make a better album, and if he doesn't, then, you know, the critics won, then Twitter won, and that's what you can't have happen. So have fun, and if it feels like it's less fun and then it's like no fun and it's all work, audit your whole operation, figure out, flip the game board on its head, go back to when it was actually worth doing. And it's only worth doing if it's like,
wait, there's more of those. Ruffle some feathers,
start anew. Hold on. Really put somebody's feet to the flames.
Okay.
Light a fire under one's tuchus. I don't know, man. I guess that's it. Just to keep doing this and not let some bumps in the road like wreck the whole whip is fucking. We're still cruising. Wait, more metaphors about driving.
Reroute.
There's a light at the end of every tunnel.
Spare tires. Check. Get an oil change every few thousand miles.
Tire iron in the trunk in case of a flat.
Mm-hmm. Some cars, you jump it in the trunk.
Make sure your AAA card is not expired. And just keep on cruising, baby. Life is a highway. I'm going to ride it all night long. You've been listening to TPS Sports Podcast. We're the Palmer Squares. We're going on the frickin' road. You want to hear some dates? And we know that you do. Urbana, 1 week from tonight. September 4th. That's a week from tonight if you're listening on podcast day. Urbana, Illinois at the Canopy Club. September, the first half of September, rather, is Junkyard Samurai time. Fucking Junkyard Road Show. Starts in a week, you guys, so get your tickets right now if you haven't yet. And, it starts on the 4th in Urbana at Canopy Club. Then we got September 5th, Bloomington, Indiana. September 6th is Toronto, Ontario. Meet and greet packs still available, I think. Then we are making our Junkyard debut in Detroit on September 7th. Following weekend, Ames, Iowa, September 12th. Milwaukee, Wisconsin, September 13th. And Minneapolis, Minnesota on September 14th.
And
after that, we're going right on the road with our homie Stevie Ray on a whole different tour. All now, My Demons.
We shoot over to the East Coast, first stopping in Cincinnati, Ohio on September 20th at the Overcast Hip Hop Festival.
Mm-hmm.
Then September 24th, Boston, Massachusetts. The 25th will be in New York City. The 26th in Baltimore, Maryland. The 27th, Philadelphia. The 28th, we're in Portland, Maine. 29th, we're in Winooski, Vermont.
Oh, I do want to say, too, we've, like, Maine is one of those states that we've just, like, there's more than one, but, like, we never played Maine. We've, like, looked into it, and we go to the East Coast before. It's never worked out. So we have no idea if we have any fans in Maine, but when we were able to add that, it's kind of been on our wish list for a couple of years. Every time we go out to play Boston and Philly, we're like, let's try Portland, Maine. Let's try somewhere in Maine. And it never worked, but we're finally doing it.
Speaking
of
Maine, September 29th, we'll be in Winooski, Vermont with my main man, Jarve.
Oh!
September 30th, Portsmouth, New Hampshire.
Book and Bar. Providence, Rhode Island just added for October 1st.
October 1st,
at a venue called Dusk.
Then we head over to the West Coast. October 9th in Seattle, October 10th in Portland, October 11th, Grants Pass, October 12th, San Fran, October 14th, Santa Cruz, October 18th, San Diego, and just added October 20th, Los Angeles at the Redwood Bar and Grill. I was looking into Redwood Bar and Grill. Looks like really tiny. I think we're going to fucking, like, it's going to be wall to wall.
Pack it
dude.
Out. Yeah. Hey, man, our Sick as Frick LA like, show was so good.
It's mainly like folk bands with like a mandolin and a banjo.
Doug.
And then like 12 people.
Somebody should combine them and call it a banjolin.
In front of them.
Did you hear what I said?
It's not bad.
Hey, T, did you hear what I said? But we're not done. We got Halloween as the first question asker of the podcast reminded us. On Halloween, we're going to be headlining Chicago. That's our hometown debut of Junkyard Samurai. Almost a year to the date after.
To this day!
We wanted
this day!
We wanted the Junkyard show in Chicago to happen like a month after the album, but. Our album, and it just didn't happen. We went on tour with UBI. Prob was on the road, and it's really hard to make it all work. So Halloween in Chicago, we are trying to blow it the frick up. Get your tickets right now. And then don't forget, we're also going to be performing with Tropodelic, Bumpin' Uglies and More for New Year's Eve in Cleveland, Ohio. So that is December 31st. Tickets for all this shit are on sale now.
Living in sin with a safety pin. Go Cleveland rocks. Cleveland rocks.
There might be a couple shows that
Ohio!
We don't have the ticket link up for, but don't let it discourage you.
Right. Ticket links are coming soon to whichever of those we just announced that you don't see a ticket link for.
90% of these are on sale right now, though.
Mm. So some of them are new. They're getting the links into works.
But that's that. Subscribe to the podcast. Sometimes I wonder. Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, blah, blah, blah. You know where to get it. And just write in. That's what we want more than anything. You don't even have to listen to this dumb show to write in. Just have a friend tell you. You can fucking have your voice heard. And you don't even have to listen. TPSReportsPodcast@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail. The voicemails are doing well lately and a lot of fun, but we need more. 708-797-3079. Save it in your phone. TPSReportsPodcast. Patreon.com/PalmerSquares. We got some shit. We're working on it. I swear to God. I just keep saying the same thing over and over again, but it's coming. Merchandise, thepalmersquares.com/shop. Check it out. Follow Junkyard Samurai on social media and Spotify. We have the Junkyard pages up and running. And working on some other shit.
Posters are $10 now.
Ooh.
But I've been drawing wieners on them. So still haven't really made an upcharge for that. If you ask for a wiener.
Just say wiener or no wiener. Hold the wiener.
You will get a wiener. I've been trying to make them each uniquer. It's getting hard.
You say you can't freestyle. My wiener getting more and more uniquer every week or two.
Damn. This one I did last night. We have basketball dongs.
It's like a shield. It's like a fucking like a crest. It's like a family crest of dong. I like it. His dick is like 4 feet. It's like basketball when they take their towels off and their giant dicks hit the floor. They're like
exactly what
wrapping
it is.
Around our feet. We have, we'll end next week's podcast with it probably, but this Friday, our homie Skeevious Tips is dropping a collab with us called Keeping It Real. That's Keep a Knit Real. So if you haven't pre-saved that, we do have a new collab coming out among some other stuff like that coming in the future. So, check that out. And if not, you'll hear it next week on the show. And, for this week, we're going to shout out our homie Braille, cause we haven't given Braille a fucking shout on the podcast, I think. I don't think we ever ended, but he's from Shia LaBeouf. He used to, you know, he changed his name after that.
I think that was his Krusty the Clown hat.
It was. Very generous. But we saw him in our fucking feeds pop up this week because he auditioned for American Idol and looks like he got through to L.A. So congratulations to the homie. But yeah, we did that song years ago with him, Shia LaBeouf, dumbest title of anything ever. But he crushed that, and we've just kind of been in touch. He opens up for us when we go out to, you know, Ojai and L.A. and Santa Barbara. So he has a newer project out called Dear Julie. This song is off that. It's called Jealousy. Again, that's Braille, B-R-A-Y-E-L-L, Braille. And yeah, follow the Smoochie Gang playlist on Spotify. With that said, we'll see you next week on the TPS Reports podcast.
Kill Whitey.
smooches.
I can be good at loving you. Baby, there is no substitute. And I've been trying to put my trust in you. But this jealousy won't let me be. You can tell me what you wanna do. I can be the one that you run into. Only thing is I've been feeling pretty uncomfortable. Cause this jealousy won't let me be.
Yeah, you said your old niggas ain't shit. Well, tell me, why did they hit you? Offer reassurance telling me that it is ancient. I turn my nose up like a facelift, ageless. Hey, I'm a little bit insane. Always giving into rage and the sentiment of pain. I've been flipping through the pictures and remembering the names. Now I'm tripping as the images replay. Well, what do I expect? I give my all 105%, but I question other guys and have you justify the sex. What's the underlying message? I'm confronting my obsession because otherwise I wonder why you left. I confess there's some fears in me that cause an awful a lot of insecurity. Some call it bondage or the product of conspiracy. Call it love or hate or just obnoxious immaturity. No doctor in an office can be curing me, but surely
I can be good at loving you. Maybe there is no substitute. And I've been trying to put my trust in you. But this jealousy won't let me be. You can tell me what you wanna do. I can be the one that you run into. Only thing is I've been feeling pretty uncomfortable. Cause this jealousy won't.
I must have had what Breezy has. See, love is a drug like an aphrodisiac. These sluts will be sluts if they have that easy match. She's covetous, rubbing on Aladdin's genie lamp. Greedy acting, she proceeds to keep them fiending for easier access. Sleazy traps perceived as clean, they misleading the masses. Mischievous, beezy, me vanish like Houdini. Please believe me that a cheating ass isn't a premium package. It's eating at me and it's gnawing at me. Ravenous, acknowledging that sadly this the cause of my unhappiness. Granted, this is probably not a model of how manliness ought to be. Apologies, my flaws are on the track again. Unraveling the guards around my heart, exposing open wounds. Don't confuse me, I'm somebody hopeless who was broken too. Who am I kidding? Now the truth I'm revealing. Feeling this envy is consuming in the booth, I be spilling it like
I can be good at loving you. Baby, there is no substitute. And I've been trying to put my trust in you. But this jealousy won't let me be. You can tell me what you wanna do. I can be the one that you run into. I've been feeling pretty uncomfortable. This is jealousy, won't let me.